Anyone who's ever tried to give up an ingrained habit such as cigarette smoking can tell you that quitting is easy. The hard part is staying off the habit once you've quit. On this edition of The Graduate School Presents, Professor Tom Stachnik and Associate Professor Bertram Stoffelmeyer of Michigan State University's Department of Psychiatry discuss behavior modification as a means of eradicating undesired habits.
Over a number of years, we've treated patients who've had trouble changing particular habits. Smoking being a good example of that. And during that time, each of us has evolved a kind of treatment program which has been, in our judgment, maximally effective. And what we're currently interested in doing is trying to decide whether or not that maximally effective treatment program for individuals in a clinical setting can, in fact, be extrapolated to a group setting and applied with large numbers of people.
What is involved in this behavior modification treatment?
I think we should start what we're actually treating. That's the key issue, you know. That many smoking cessation programs presume to help the subject to stop smoking. Whereas in actual fact, you know, and that has been shown by studies over and over and large statistically kind of surveys, the best way of giving up smoking is cold turkey. Now, however, the problem arises is that although many, many people give up every day, many, many people relapse every day. So, like, for example, in our group we studied, this 50 people or so, they have, on average, had given up smoking 7 times. It gives you some idea how this phenomenon really fall out, you know. So the major emphasis of our treatment procedure is not giving up cigarettes. It's maintaining of abstinence from smoking. So the major emphasis of the treatment starts at the day they do stop smoking.
How is this maintenance achieved?
There are a number of what we consider key elements in the program. One of the things we've done is include a financial deposit or bond that the person puts down in a sense to support their pledge of not smoking, and they in fact lose the money if they do not maintain that pledge. Another one of the key elements that we think is an important incentive is regular meeting with other people who are also trying to stay stopped, in a sense. And there's no question but that sharing that experience with other people who are going through the same very difficult procedure at the same time is very helpful. One of our complaints about what's been done in terms of smoking cessation programs in the past is that they tend to occur in isolation from the mainstream of the person's life. And we feel very strongly that that's one of the reasons that most, for example, smoking cessation programs in the past have been singularly unsuccessful. One of the techniques we routinely employ is that the participants sign a contract stating that they will not smoke for some fixed period of time, usually 6 months, and then copies of that contract are sent to everybody they know. And what happens then, of course, is that the whole social network that the person operates in on a day-to-day basis is now, in a sense, geared up to support the new behavior. And we think that that's absolutely crucial.
Aside from smoking withdrawal, what other types of behavior could this treatment be used to help?
We think that other strict habits could be helped by it. Eating, medication compliance, other kind of treatment compliance issues, or compliance with an exercise regimen. All kinds of situation where the consequence of doing the thing is in the distance. If you think an exercise program is a good example, you know, when you start exercising, it is basically a drag, it hurts, and you don't see any good outcomes at all. But supposedly after a year when you're very fit, then life ought to improve. So again, it's one of those situations where the true consequences for the behavior change are very distant. So I suppose we're really saying that our regimen is best for a situation where the true consequences, the reason for which one engages in the behavior, are far off.
Tom Stachnik and Bertram Stoffelmeyer of Michigan State University's Department of Psychiatry on this edition of The Graduate School Presents. For the Michigan State University Tape Network, this has been John Nielsen.